For 13 years, I was a college and career pastor. Illinois State University was just a mile away from our church. So the second summer after I had started, I said, listen, I'm going to take some of these college students to New York City, teach them to share, kind of defend their faith, and put them in the most international city in the world. So I got 180 different people groups, 800 different languages are spoken in New York City every day. And so that first year, we took 20 or 25 of these college students there. And for a week, and they had a great time. I said, well, let's do it again the next year. And so we did it again the next year. And some of them, the older adults of the congregation, said, we'd like to go on this trip. I said, that was fine. And so it got up to be 60 or 70 people went on the trip. And after a few years, some people from other churches said, well, listen, we want to go on the trip. So we thought, well, maybe we should separate this trip or this ministry from the church so other people in the city or maybe in the country would feel comfortable going on this mission trip rather than going on Calvary Baptist's church mission trip. And so we did. So I stayed to be, I'm still the college and career pastor at this time, but we formed this organization. At the time, we called it New York City Ministries and kind of opened it up for anybody that wanted to go. Well, it got to be 200. It got to be 250 people. Now 300. And we're still doing it today after 23 years, and we have 380 people coming this coming summer in New York, and we'll show you a little video here in a moment. But after being there for 13 years, kind of doing both, I decided that I would step down from the church position and actually direct this ministry full-time. And it was at this moment then that we renamed the ministry to Spread Truth, and that was in 2006. So I've been full-time directing it since that time. Now, the simple vision statement of Spread Truth is that one day all people everywhere will have access to the beauty of God's story. Dr. Tim Keller made an interesting statement about the gospel. He says, when you share the gospel, you need to share it in such a way that you make their mouth water so that they wish what you were saying were true. He says, they won't even listen to you unless they wish what you were saying were true. And so he gave an illustration. And the illustration was that he was in England, and he was speaking before these students there, these people that didn't know anything about Christ. And when he got done speaking, they came up to him afterward, and they said, hey, when we heard you speak, it sure made me wish Christianity were true, but I know it's not. He says, you mean you wish it were true? They said, the way you shared it, I wish it were true. And so he shared the story from this message, and this is what they heard. And these people there in England could relate to this because it was about an author named Dorothy Sayers. Now, some of you may have heard of Dorothy Sayers, read some of her books. There have been films made about her books. Now, Dorothy Sayers lived back, she was actually born, I think, in the 1920s or 30s, and she was one of the first ladies who ever graduated from Oxford University. And when she graduated from Oxford, she went on to write murder mystery novels. And these murder mystery novels revolved around this kind of eccentric, odd detective named Lord Peter Wimsey. And he was a bit odd, but he would go around solving these murder mysteries in Great Britain. Well, about halfway through her series of novels about Lord Peter Wimsey, she introduces a new female character into the storyline. And her name is Harriet Vane. Now, Harriet Vane, in the storyline, just happens to be one of the first ladies who ever graduated from Oxford. And when Harriet Vane graduated from Oxford, she went on to write murder mystery novels. Well, in the storyline, Harriet meets Peter, and she didn't like him at first. He's kind of weird. But eventually, Peter kind of grows on her, and they begin to appreciate each other's company. And soon they fall in love. And then they get married, solve murder mysteries together, and they all live happily ever after. Dr. Keller, in sharing that illustration, looked at his audience, and he said what Dorothy Sayers did is that she fell in love with a character that she was writing about. But in order to rescue him, she had to write herself into the story. And he said to the audience, and that's what God did. But he really wrote himself into the story. And he put on a body. And you know the story. He moved into the neighborhood, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. And he lived a perfect life. He died a perfect death. And he rose again that you and I might have eternal life. At Spread Truth, our desire is to share the beauty of the story in its entirety. So if you pick up a booklet or you see the film, we're trying to get unbelievers a 50,000-foot view of this Bible and of this story. Beginning with creation, and then kind of all of man, what happened, why the world is broken, and our lives are broken in so many ways. But how that the author of this story is going to write himself into his storyline, and he's going to come down, and we show that by, in our booklet and the film, by the rescue, and that Christ died for us. So that at the end of the story, we all love a good ending to a story, no matter if you are going into a movie or read a book, you want the story to end right. If you're a child, you like the fairy tale to end right. That's built within all of mankind. And the reason we desire a good ending is because we're hardwired that way, because the ultimate story does have that ending if you'll just trust it. So everything we're trying to do at Spread Truth is to get this message across the world, that we're all a part of a story that's far bigger than what we even realize. You're a part of the story. You're a character in this story. And this story began long before you ever got here and I ever got here, and it's going to continue long after we're gone. But it's the one story that governs the world. It's the one story that narrates the world. And I go around to university campuses and I talk to college students all the time. And I ask them four worldview questions. Basically, is how do you think it all began? Let them talk. What do you think has gone wrong with the world? It's pretty messed up in a lot of ways when we turn on the news. Third question, hey, listen, what's your one hope for the world? And then, hey, listen, we're all going to die one day. What does the future hold for you once life's over? Now, when they've answered those four questions, they've given me their worldview. The story we're in is the only story that can really narrate the world. It's the only one that makes sense. And so our passion is to engage people who are hurting and they're broken, who are trying to find joy in a lot of different ways, and show them this story and ask them to become a part of this story. That's the passion of what we're doing. Now, what we've tried to be able to do is we give people practical ways. If, say, listen, you want to go on a mission trip and do this, then we offer New York City. Well, most of you are probably not going to be able to do that, but we'll show you a little bit about it today. But we're all going to be able to maybe present some tools for you that can help you be able to share this full story. So if it's a booklet, there's some booklets back there. It'll have enough for everybody here. If it's the story Bible, which we've done, that's back there. And then everybody, there's one thing all of you carry with you. You may not carry a gospel booklet with you at all times, and you may not carry a Bible with you at all times, but if you forget your phone, we all hit the panic button. Like, hey, what's going on here? I gotta have my phone. Okay? We all have a phone. And so we've developed some things that we think can be of great encouragement for you to be able to share the gospel with people. As I said before, we're just trying to spread the beauty of God's story in a number of different ways. Visual media, obviously the print media. And so we do have some, whatever's on the table back there, you can take. We're blessed to have one of the best animators maybe in the country. How were you able to get him? Well, he was our next door neighbor that he would always recruit my son to be in his goofy movies in the backyard, because he think, what in the world is this kid going to end up doing? You know, he's always, you know, putting ketchup on, you know, and some scary, you know. Well, he became a great animator and done stuff for the Nickelodeon, done stuff for the Emmys. And I sat down with him one day and just said, I want you to come work for Spread Truth. And he's such a humble guy and wanted to be able to help change the world. And so we had done a lot of print material, but we wanted to produce a film that would be designed for the unbeliever, that you could send to people, that you wouldn't be embarrassed to send it to them, whoever it was. So this is an 800-hour project for 5 minutes and 50 seconds that you'll be able to have on your tablet, you'll be able to have on your phone in different languages that you can send to people around the world. So when we developed this, we knew the animation had to be right. You'll hear the music. The music we had to have specifically written for the story. It was done by Grant Fonda, who's worked on the James Bond film and Minions movie, with live orchestration in California. You'll hear the music that's there. We had to cover everything that we believed was so important. And so this is the story film. We're really excited about it. In fact, and I'll maybe share a little bit about later, I'm at University of South Carolina doing worldview questionnaires with three students from Iraq. They spoke Arabic. I was able to ask them the questions and pull out my phone and share the story film in Arabic right there with them. I'm at Clemson University. The very first student that I walk up to is a 32-year-old architectural student from mainland China. Was able to share with him right there on my phone, say, hey, listen, let's watch this in Mandarin. And he's able to do it. So you can send it to people. You can watch it. But let me, if you've not seen it, I think you'll be encouraged this morning by watching the story film.
There is only one story that answers life's most essential questions and gives a lasting sense of purpose and meaning. It's the story that inspires all other stories. It's the true story that defines every one of us. This is that story. How did it all begin? Like all stories, this one begins in the beginning with the author, who is God. He spoke everything into being. With a word, galaxies appeared with stars and planets. Earth was designed for life to flourish. Everything God made was gloriously good and breathtakingly perfect. The highlight of God's creation was the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. God entrusted everything he created to his beloved children, giving just one rule. They were not to eat fruit from a specific tree. They lived in loving obedience, worshiping God as their heavenly Father, and enjoying perfect harmony with creation, each other, and God. Considering our world today, it's obvious perfect peace didn't last. Turmoil, war, sickness, troubles. We each have our share. What went wrong? It started when a fallen angel named Satan grew jealous of God and determined to ruin the perfection of creation. Satan took the form of a serpent and enticed Adam and Eve to question God's goodness and rebel against his one rule. In disobedience, they ate the fruit, and peace unraveled, ushering in sin and death, which still plagues us today. If we are honest, we are very much like Adam and Eve. We all rebel against our Heavenly Father, making our hearts heavy with fear, guilt, and shame. Our bodies are weary with sickness, disease, and death. Earth is afflicted with storms, calamities, and disasters. Even worse, sin has separated us from God, causing a permanent divide, a miserable separation called hell. The fallout of sin has been catastrophic. It's inescapable with no way to fix it, leaving us all to wonder, is there any hope? The love that prompted God to create us also prompted him to send a Savior who would set everything right again. As centuries passed, God shared exact details of the coming Savior's birth, life, and death. Everything in the Bible points to this rescuer. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth as God the Son to fulfill the promise. He was born miraculously, as his mother was a virgin. Just like us, Jesus grew up and experienced life on earth. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned and always obeyed the Father. When Jesus was in his 30s, he began teaching all around Israel, pointing people to God's kingdom and performing many miracles. After a few years, he was wrongly accused and sentenced to an agonizing death on a cross. Jesus lovingly gave up his perfect life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind. He died a perfect death, taking our place, the innocent for the guilty. But the grave couldn't hold Jesus. 3 days later, God brought Jesus to life again. Jesus defeated sin by dying on the cross and defeated death by rising from the dead. Today, Jesus sits at God's right hand as King and Judge over all creation. This is the story of rescue God has authored. He invites us, through repentance and faith, to make his story of rescue the one we trust in and live from. When we do, everything changes. And now, what will the future hold? For everyone who trusts in Jesus alone for rescue, God has promised to restore your heart and set you free from sin's hold. Because God is loving, kind, merciful, forgiving, tender-hearted, and true. God has also promised to make all things new. One day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, forever free from sin. Everything that causes pain and sadness will be gone. God has also promised to be with us forever. The moment you trust in Jesus, your relationship with God is restored because Jesus has closed the divide sin caused. Getting to know this all-loving God starts today and continues forever. For God's story never ends. You can make God's story the foundation of your life even now by admitting your need for God's rescue, asking forgiveness for your sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone to rescue you, following Jesus in faith from this moment on. This is God's story. Will you make it yours?
We wanted this to be available to you, that you can share it with anyone via text message, via an email, or maybe you're in a coffee shop and you can just share it with them right there on your phone or your tablet. Incredible way to get the gospel out. For some of you in here, you say, listen, I've never really shared my faith before and I'm really scared to verbalize it at this time. Well, I understand that because it can be a scary thing. Well, this is a great first step because you can send them this and you can type whatever you want into the link there, but we have in there already for you if you want. It just says, we all long for a better story. Now, I will say if you send it by text message, you know that 97%, there's a 97% opening if you send somebody a text message. 97% of the people open it up. If you send them an email, you can do that. It's 14% because you all get those junk emails. But if you get a text, it's like, whoa. And so what we've tried to do is make it really, really easy for you. So the story then, through the web, social media, an app, print, and some really cool stuff with tracking, and I'll explain that to you in just a second. So we have the story animation, and if you were to go on your computer to viewthestory.com, or if you went to this store, the app store, you can download all this, the story film, and all that goes with it, and it's really a great thing to be able to do. Now, it really is kind of, we've done things in two different ways. One, what we wanted to do, if you look on the right-hand side, for the non-believer, you want to be able to send something to them that's done in what we believe is a very quality production where they can receive it in their language. Now, you're going to see in just a moment that what we've done in the film, when I sat down with that person who was Arabic, you're going to see then that we changed the film to fit the Arabic culture. Now, I don't know if you know that people in Arabic read right to left instead of left to right. Okay, now, Pepsi-Cola didn't understand this back in the 1930s. Pepsi-Cola decided they would do a billboard campaign over in Saudi Arabia, somewhere over there, and they're going to have three different billboards. And the first billboard was this guy was just drenched because he is just so hot and sweaty. The middle billboard was he's drinking a Pepsi. And the third billboard was he's all refreshed. But when they did it over there, guess what? They read it the opposite way. They're thinking, man, this guy is just refreshed. He drank a Pepsi, and now he's soaked with sweat. Okay? They didn't realize. So you'll see in just a moment how we were able to flip the book, flip the scroll, add a layer of Arabic music, because we wanted the people in the Middle Eastern region not to receive some American film that's dubbed, but we have tried to contextualize that film for that culture. The same thing with the Chinese culture. We added layers of Chinese music. And we'll show you that a little bit. So we're trying to go in and contextualize it. So you may have friends and family that are different regions of the world. They're going to receive it in like their mother language there that we think is extremely important. So that's what we're doing for the non-believer so they can understand it and it be contextualized for them. Now for the believer, what we're trying to do for you is say, listen, we want you to give you a delivery system that's really easy, but it's kind of some fun things about it is not only are you going to be able to send it to people very simply by hitting a share button and they receive it, but you're going to have your own mapping. We call that real-time analytics, whereby if people do open it up, you'll have a map of the world on your phone, and all of a sudden you'll see different dots of people that are at, so it's only city levels, and we're not doing analytics where we can go down there and watch in your living room, opening it up. No, it's just at a city level. And if I were to open it up and show you my app now, I'll show you that 200 or 300 people in the last month have opened it up from my link, and I've got 14 different countries already, and some of them I have absolutely no idea how it got there because it just goes viral. Because you send it to somebody, someone says, hey, I'm gonna send it to somebody else. And they send it, and the gospel goes around the world. It's pretty crazy how it works. So we're trying to deliver something to you that is easy to be able to share. So if you went to viewthestory.com, okay, you would be able to go on your computer, or if you wanted to go to the App Store, and through Android or Apple, you can download the Story app there, which I think could be a great encouragement. We've translated into 10 languages. Just the first of these ones, part of the 10. Here we've got an Arabic, Hindi, English, Spanish, and Mandarin, covering 35% of the world's population at this point. These languages cover 2.32 billion people out of the 7 billion people that are on the planet. Now, the reason we think it's so important to do this mobile technology is that I was talking to a fellow in from New Guinea now. Now, he was dealing with people that just a year ago, were cannibals. And they're now walking around with cell phones. Talked to another pastor the other day. He says, I was in Africa. These children don't know where their next meal's coming from, but they're walking around with cell phones. Okay? Now, just like in the days of the Apostle Paul in the Roman Empire, the Romans were famous for the Roman roads that went throughout all the Roman Empire. Now, what Rome used it for was military and commerce, trading. But what did the apostles use it for? To take the gospel throughout the world. Same thing with the printing press. Develop, do books. What the Christian used it for? To print Bibles in people's languages. So we got cell phones today. That's the modern technology of the day. Now, it can be used for good. It can be used for evil. We all have one. You all always have it with you, most likely. Why not use this little tool? And it's a tool. It doesn't take the place necessarily of a conversation that you can have. But if you've never shared, this is a good first step. Or if you have shared, it's a great follow-up piece. I know a man that was decided he would use it on the airplane with a stewardess. Showed her the film, and she received Christ as her Savior there on the airplane. One guy put the link on Facebook. And it was a military man there in Kuwait, and he was getting ready to go on Facebook to present his last say goodbye or message to the world because he was going to kill himself. And someone, he saw the link to the film, changed his life. So you never know what God's going to do with something that's very simple like this. And so we're trying to get it in all the world's languages. And so what I would encourage you to do today, when you go home, either go to viewthestory.com on your computer or go to the App Store. And if you put the Story, Spread Truth, in there in either Android or Apple, go ahead and download and sign up. Once you sign up, man, you can begin sharing it. And you'll be amazed how it just will go viral. And you can have your own mapping on it, which is really kind of a cool thing. Smartphones worldwide, 76% of the world has Android phones. It's kind of hard to believe that because everybody's so much Apple around. How many people have an Android phone here? Okay. How many have Apple? Okay. So we think Apple kind of dominates the world. It maybe dominates the world here, but worldwide, it's more Android. Future, 2016, there's 2.6 billion. Now, we're not talking about cell phones. We're talking about smartphones in the world. By the year 2018, 2.56 billion. They say by the year 2020 that 60 to 70% of the world's population, adult population, will have a smartphone. Okay? Pretty crazy stuff. Now, here's where it can get exciting for LifePoint Church. Now, I'm kind of talking this high-tech stuff. I always tell people I'm kind of the idiot at the top because I can barely find my email. But the people that are working for us are doing some incredible things that I don't even understand sometimes. So I'm going to try to explain it to you so and that maybe it can make a little bit of sense. When you go to sign up, either from your computer or from your app, you'll see on there a little feature that says groups. Okay, and we can set up for you folks a group account called LifePoint Church. So you not only have your individual account with your individual mapping, you can send it out to people, but when you join that group, what it does for LifePoint Church is it's collecting all that information. And what it can do is that then Phil can come in here, you know, maybe after a couple of weeks, and he can put we issue you then an HD heat map, which is a pretty cool map that will show around the world just what LifePoint Church is doing to reach people with the gospel and how it's being opened up. Very simple. So, but you can also access your individual map or your group map from your phone or from your laptop. Very simple. All of this, of course, is at no charge. Now, a friend of ours, which Phil knows, this is kind of funny. A friend of ours has pastors a church called Hope Chapel. So they had this group link. Now, the pastor is Will Lonas, and Phil knows him. And so what Will was really excited to get Hope Chapel, a church plant, maybe about 150, 175 people, to start sharing the story. So they had 45 people, like that first week, that signed up and became a part of the group. It was just pretty cool. A good percentage of the adults had signed up for it. Now, Will, you know, he and I played soccer against each other in college. He's kind of competitive in nature, and so he wanted to kind of be the guy that led the way in the church. So, I guess maybe that first week he had, you know, after a few weeks he had 80 to 100 people that had opened up his link, and he's pretty excited. And he noticed that there was somebody in the church that was getting close to him. So, you know, he wanted to, of course, stay ahead of him until one day. This is how crazy it goes. Until one day, he sends me an email and says, Jerry, you got to go see our map. You won't believe what's happening. There happened to be a guy in the congregation who happens to be a motivational speaker. He decided that he put it on his Facebook link. Now, he's got 300 and some thousand followers on his Facebook link, and 8,000 clicks came onto the story account. And here's Will at 100. He's thinking he's doing pretty good. He's now 7,900 people behind. I think, but it just goes viral, and people share it with other people. The Bible says that Jesus will come once all the ends of the world have the opportunity to hear the gospel. We believe that through mobile technology, that this can happen because it's everywhere. Through satellites, it's crazy. We're now working with a ministry called Renew Ministry that you can download a number of other things, but also the Jesus film, take it into a remote region, okay? Now, how they do this, I don't know. These are Georgia Tech engineering students. It's called Lightstream if you want to look it up on the internet. And they're able to create a web server. They're able to create a web server in this little box by battery, take it into a remote region. So let's say you're in the Bonduca circles and you bring in this web server called Lightstream, and it could have the Jesus film on it, could have the story film on it, and when they light that thing up, then people that may have cell phones can somehow get the internet and they can download. That's crazy how it works. All I'm saying is that it's going around the world. Even places that don't have Wi-Fi, you're able to go in and create Wi-Fi right there with stuff already on it. And we're also going to be in the process of making SD cards that people can plug into their Android phones. All different types of ways of being able to get the good news of Jesus out. And we hope to, by the end of the year, have 25 to 30 different translations that are there. So I want to close by just, first of all, encouraging. So to go, and then what I can do is get in touch with Josh, and we can set up a, unless you have a group account already, I don't know if you do or not. Oh, you do. Again, I'm not a real tech guy. You already have. So if you go and you sign up and you hit groups and you look up Life Point Church, it's already there. It's already there. So I'd encourage you this afternoon. Do it and begin sharing it and sharing it. And then you're going to be able to see your map, and it's going to just click, 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 and things like that. So you're used to it. In Luke chapter 24, it's an interesting story because Jesus has died, and he's actually risen from the grave. But he's got a couple of his disciples who don't really know what's going on, and the Bible says they're really sad because they put all their faith in Jesus, and he died. It's kind of like Phil coming back next week and say, hey, listen, this is the last week of Life Point Church, because all we put our faith in is really not true. They've actually found the bones of Jesus, and there's credible evidence, and it was a good journey, folks, but it wasn't true. That's how these guys felt. They thought he was going to set up his kingdom, and he was the Messiah of the world, and they killed him. And the Bible says they're walking along, and the Bible says that they're sad, they're dejected, they're depressed. And what happens is Jesus is all of a sudden going to come alongside of them, and he's going to walk with them, but they don't recognize who he is. He says, guys, hey, how you doing? He says, why are you so discouraged? Hey, why does your face look so sad? They said, haven't you heard about this person called Jesus, this person who was mighty prophet and teacher, and how people they crucified him? Haven't you heard about that? And they said, you won't believe it. There's some women back there that said that he'd risen from the dead. Now, they didn't put a whole lot of stock in what a woman said back in those days, unfortunately. So Jesus is just kind of listening to what they're saying. And then he says, kind of paraphrasing, you really don't have much faith. And all of a sudden he says, and beginning with Moses. Now, not that Jesus began talking about Moses, but what he began talking was the first five books that Moses wrote. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Bible says, beginning with the writings of Moses, he began to explain all things concerning himself. So they're listening. And he probably went back to the garden and started with creation, because it began with Genesis, showing how God created the world the way it was supposed to be. In a perfect environment, a beautiful Garden of Eden. And because he didn't want to create puppets in Adam and Eve, he gave them a free will. He said, listen, you can eat of every tree in the garden you want to. Enjoy it. Man, go for it. But I want you to make sure that you obey me, okay? So God is going to give him a chance to really trust him. See, if he'd have coerced him to obey or pulled the strings like a puppet, then that wouldn't be true love and true obedience. So he says, hey, listen, you can have every tree in the garden, but I want you to learn to trust me. Don't eat that one. And they said, hey, okay, thank you, God, but I'm going to kind of do it my way. You ever been there? Done that and got the T-shirt where you decide that in life you kind of want to do it your way? And just like us, when they did it their way, believed the lie of Satan that they could find happiness outside of God. That's what they thought they could do. They could actually find happiness doing it their way. And it may last for a moment. Okay? The Bible says that Moses chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin's fun. Hey, no doubt about it. But it's short-lived. It never brings what it promises. And they didn't with them. And so what happened is that as soon as they sinned, they all of a sudden began to experience things they had never experienced before. They were in a perfect place, but all of a sudden it wasn't so perfect anymore, because there began all of a sudden be tension between the two of them. There's all of a sudden going to be this distance from God. You know why? Because the Bible says, you know what they did? They went and they hid themselves. Why would we hide it? You only hide it unless you're scared or you've done something wrong. And so they're hiding themselves, and so God comes looking for them. Now, he knows where they're at. He goes, hey, Adam, where are you? And Adam comes out and says, hey, listen, the reason basically I'm hiding, you know what I mean, and trying to explain himself, you know what I mean? They were afraid, and this is what he does. Now, this is classic. This is what men do. I guess it's what we all do. You know what he does? God says, why did you do what I told you not to do? He goes, it's the woman that you gave me. So he not only blamed Eve, but then he blamed God. They begin to experience things they never experienced before. They begin to experience guilt, and that's a fun feeling, isn't it? You ever been there? How do you adequately describe guilt? It's like a weight, isn't it? They begin to experience shame. What are they trying to do? They're trying to cover themselves, the Bible says, in what? Fig leaves. Man's first attempt at religion, George Robinson says. So here they are scared, trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. And then what God's going to do, he's going to do something that's going to point them to Jesus. He's going to take an animal and he's going to kill it. An animal that Adam had named. And blood was going to be shed. And he's going to take the skin of that animal and he's going to cover them. And that's going to be a picture of the real Lamb of God, who is going to be, his blood was going to be shed. And if by faith we receive him, we're covered with his righteousness. And then all of a sudden, God is going to have a conversation with that snake. And God's going to tell him that there's a big division now going on between the seed of the woman of Eve and the seed of you, Satan. Because you don't see how cool this is? That the same woman who brought sin into the world by saying, I'll eat that fruit, is going to be through her seed that the Messiah is going to come. Pretty cool. Grace. And God says to the serpent, hey, listen, you'll bruise his heel, talking about Jesus. There'll be suffering there at the cross, but he will do what? He'll crush your head. You ever see the film? What's the name of the film? That Passion. Now, it's not quite biblically in the right order there, but when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all of a sudden you hear that snake, then all of a sudden, boom! Crushes him. Satan's going to be defeated. I expect what Jesus did when he was walking along the road. The Bible says he began with Genesis. He began with Moses and began to tell everything in the Old Testament concerning himself, because the New Testament wasn't written back at that point on the road, Emmaus. The New Testament wasn't written. So he was sharing the whole Old Testament about himself. And that's why we think it's important with the story that you begin with Genesis. It used to be that you didn't have to do that in America because people had working knowledge. So we would often kind of start in the middle of the story, like, hey, you've heard of Jesus? People are like, of course, yeah. Nowadays, that's not the case. And you've all been in a situation in your own home when your family was watching a movie, right? And you're late. You ever been there? You come in about 25 minutes into the film and you sit down and you say, well, hey, what's going on here? You have no clue what's going on. And you have to wait till a commercial for someone to bring you up to date on the plot of the story. Well, that's often what we've done with sharing the gospel. We've dropped people in the middle of the story. And they may have heard vaguely about Jesus, but they don't have any idea how he fits into the context of the whole story. That's why we're saying it's important to be able to share the whole story with people. So Jesus does this. And now they get to the end of their journey. And they go, they say, hey, you want to come eat with us? And they still don't know who he is. Okay? They say, yeah, come on, eat. Then all of a sudden, reveals himself. And he's gone. So here these two guys are sitting at the table. They had actually been with the Messiah who'd risen from the dead. They finally got it. And here's what they said. And you all probably have heard this. So they're conversing with each other. They said, hey, did not our hearts what? Burn within us when he opened up the scriptures. That idea is passion. How have you shared the gospel? Bullet points like point A, point B, point D? Or have you shared it in such a way that you make them wish what you were saying were true? Have you shared it in such a way when they walk away from you, they may say, listen, I don't believe necessarily that that's true, but if it were, that's the coolest story I've ever heard. Hey, we're all screwed up here. In every other religion is mankind somehow trying to earn their way to a God that they never are quite certain they can be good enough. It's only in Christianity that God comes down and he understands everything you've gone through. And he loves hanging around people that are messed up. That's the people he loves to hang around with, people that are really screwed up and they know it. And say, listen, I've screwed it up. He said, come on. And he's willing to forgive you of everything you've ever done. But you say, well, you don't know what I've done. Your sin is like a tiny little puddle compared to the oceans of his mercy. He says, it doesn't matter what you've done. You come on. Now come on. If you'll trust me, I'll forgive you of everything you've ever done. Not only that, I'll not only forgive you, but I will declare you. Now, this is kind of crazy. Once you receive me, not that you actively do this every day, but I'm going to declare you just as righteous and perfect as Jesus is. Now, think about it. That's crazy. So what he does, he covers you with Jesus' perfection. And that one day, when you die, now, you think you're going up, right? You may go up for a little while, but you're coming back down. It's a new heaven and a new earth. Many commentators believe it's this earth renewed, cleansed by fire. It's a new earth. And you'll be with him forever and ever, and it'll be just like it was in the beginning. The world the way it was supposed to be. It all kind of comes full circle. And just as Adam and Eve could talk with God in the garden, in the cool of the day, you'll get to talk to him. You'll see him face to face. And just as Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship in the new heaven and new earth, you'll have a perfect relationship with everyone. Won't be any jealousy. Won't be one nation. It'll be a perfect relationship with each other. And Adam could name the animals, and there wasn't any fear of the lion or the tiger or whatever. It wasn't any fear. It wasn't any sin. It wasn't any conflict. And that day, the Bible says, the lion and the lamb. The Bible says in Isaiah that a little child will be able to come along and will be able to lead the bear. A little child will be able to lead a bear. And he'll be able to put his hand in the snake's nest, and it won't bite him. So there will be many more snakes. Won't be any hurricanes. There won't be devastating floods. There's a harmony with God. There's a harmony with each other. And there's a harmony with creation. Just as it was in the beginning. It all comes full circle. This is his story. This is my Father's world. And lest we ne'er forget that though the wrong seems all so strong, God is the ruler yet. It's his world. It's a new earth coming. I close by Martin Luther used to, he wrote a song called Joy to the World. We all sing it at Christmas time, right? And we're thinking it's talking about when Jesus came to the world the first time. It really isn't. Remember that second verse, or maybe it's the third verse? No more let sin and sorrow, y'all know the song? Right. Nor thorns infest the ground. He's come to make his glory known, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. That's talking about his second coming. When we live on the new heaven and the new earth, the curse will be gone. I encourage you this morning. I encourage myself. The world needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You'll have it, access, even right now, to over 2 billion people, their languages on your phone. That you can send. I trust it'll be an encouragement to you. If you have any questions, if they're not too detailed, actually, Phil is a computer guy. He'll know much more about how to do it than I do, okay? Ask him. But thank you for your attention this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for your sweet gospel. And do pray that you would help us. We all fail at sharing it. Would you help us today to be able to share it with someone? And we look forward to the day that we can be with you. Thank you for this congregation. And pray that you'll use them to reach more and more people in the Greenville area. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart.